I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors. They got destroyed. I don't know what else to say. They lost 112-94 to the Boston Celtics in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals. And before I go on to recap the carnage from this game, I have to tell you that, look, I know you're thinking right now, ever since basketball came back, you can't get buckets out of your head. And we're not just talking about basketball buckets, we're talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. You watch them, you crave them. That's how it works. I get it. It happens to me all the time. One minute, I'm talking about buckets on the podcast. The next minute, I'm daydreaming about the $10 Mighty Bucket for two. I mean, how could you get your mind off four pieces of chicken, two original recipe tenders, two individual fries, two dips, and of course, a popcorn chicken. But don't worry, it's normal. Even happens to most NBA players during actual games. It just means you're hungry. Order your bucket online at KFC.ca and get it before tip-off. I mean, look at poor Nick right here, man. Nick could use a bucket of KFC right now. I mean, damn. he looks tough. And yeah, I mean, you know, that sums up the mood right there. The Raptors got smashed. I know it's just game one. I've obviously covered the Raptors for a while. I've seen the Raptors lose a lot of game ones. Raptors last year throughout the playoff run lost two game ones. Two out of the four series, they lost game one. So game one is always tough. But at the same time, you know, you can't not be concerned by the result of this one. And I say that because this wasn't any other game. This was, you know, it's concerning that it was an exact carbon copy of how the Raptors lost in their bubble game. In the bubble series or whatever, the seeding games, whatever they're called. They went 7-1. You know, of course, then they swept the first round against the Nets. But yeah, I mean, this game was an exact carbon copy of that other loss that they've had so far inside the bubble. And you know, it's a little concerning from that front, because when it happens twice, you can't really write it off as an anomaly. And I don't think anything is an anomaly in this game. I mean, look, the Raptors admitted afterwards that they played terribly and they sort of, were lifeless. You know, obviously there were some circumstances involving the fact that it's a very emotional weekend, a week for the team, the NBA as a whole, you know, trying to decide whether to continue playing or to continue protesting against continued police brutality, especially in the United States, in the case of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin. But it's been a heavy week. It's been an absolute heavy week. And of course you can, point to that as sort of a factor here. But at the same time, the team did not do that. The team refused to do that. The team, talked about how, you know what, this was just a game that they lost. And you got to hold that L sometimes. I think the Raptors can hold that L here. And, you know, it's concerning really, because a lot of what the Celtics did successfully in that one bubble game was replicated here. I mean, you know, defensively, the Raptors were actually, I thought, okay. Obviously, they had a terrible first quarter. They lost 39-23. That put them behind the eight ball. They couldn't recover from there. But at the same time, the Raptors, I thought, were okay defensively. I mean, they forced 22 turnovers out of the Celtics as a whole. And then after the first quarter, where they committed 11 foul calls, some of those are shaky, but whatever, okay, 11 foul calls. The Raptors only gave up 10 free throws from the second quarter to the fourth quarter. And you know, the Celtics hit all 10, but 10 is 10. You can live with 10. And the Raptors kept the Celtics off the offensive glass. They're a sneakily decent offensive glass team. For the most part, I thought it was okay. Like, you know, defensively, it was okay. The real issue is offensively, the Raptors cannot score. And that's where, you know, you could point to a couple of things. I mean, you can point to the fact that you got a really off night from Fred VanVleet. You're not going to expect him to shoot 3 of 16. You got a tough scoring game from Pascal. He was really, really bad in that front. You get I don't know, man. I wouldn't really say anybody played well in particular offensively tonight for the Raptors. I mean, you know, Pascal with 13, you know, some of that in garbage time. You know, okay, maybe you point to those some of these things. But really, I think the issue is the Celtics do a lot of stuff well against the Raptors defensively that I'm not entirely sure the Raptors can adjust to. And what I mean by that is tooth runs. Like, one, the Celtics did a really good job of getting back in transition. So even though, for example, you look at even though, you know, the Raptors forced the Celtics into 22 turnovers, they only got 7 fast break points in total for the Raptors. And so, you know, obviously that's an area the Raptors need. The Raptors need to score in transition, or else they are not going to have an efficient game offensively. They're just not good enough half court wise. And the Celtics did a really good job of getting back in transition. The Celtics have done a really good job all season at getting back in transition against the Raptors. In all 4 of the Raptors games against the Celtics were able to limit the Raptors to 13 or less fast break points. And so, you know, that part is pretty bad. I think, you know, the Raptors need to get out in transition, need to find other ways to get out in transition. Even when they forced turnovers, they couldn't get out in transition. When they forced missed, they couldn't get out in transition. You know, some of that stuff is just is concerning for sure. The other thing that's concerning is, you know, the Celtics do a really good job switching a lot on the perimeter. And so the Raptors run a lot of plays, you know, whether it's for Fred, whether it's Kyle, sometimes even for Pascal when he's, you know, operating in a more perimeter role, where they set a lot of screens on the perimeter, double screens, drag screens, stuff like that. And they try to get an advantage, try to get a player going downhill towards the basket, maybe a pull-up three open, you know, occasionally. But for the most part, trying to create gaps so the Raptors can, you know, put pressure on the paint, draw extra defenders, and then sort of play from that, where after they've touched the paint, they are able to kick it out, they're able to swing the ball, and they're able to get a good shot off. And even though the Raptors did miss a whole bunch of open shots, I thought the Raptors didn't do a great job of just getting into their sets. The Celtics shut a lot of that stuff down because, you know, they can switch a lot. I mean, even with Gordon Hayward, who's 6'8", he's out of the series with a sprained ankle. You still have a guy like Marcus Smart coming in. There's no drop-off there defensively. And the Raptors just weren't able to get into their offense. And you know, it stagnated. There's a lot more one-on-one. There's a lot of Fred pulling up for three, and you know, I thought he had some pretty good looks from three, and he can hit more of those. I think we just saw that against the Nets. I know it was the Nets, but you know, honestly, the same amount of space is just, you know, Fred didn't hit him. But you know, a lot more pull up threes, which is sort of an ISO kind of thing. You know, a lot more Pascal attacking in the post, you know, more of an ISO thing, and you know, it's just tough. Whereas, you know, the Raptors did a decent job guarding the Celtics too, but the Celtics have a really good ability to play as a team. I mean, you got Kemba Walker. The Raptors did, put a lot of pressure on Kemba in terms of Fred really swarming him and then sending a second defender. You know, usually whoever was screening for Kemba coming out to the side of the screen, to the level of the screen, trying to take away that pull-up three for Kemba. But Kemba's still able to turn the corner a couple of times. He got 10 assists. You know, Jaylen Brown did a good job of assisting others. Marcus Smart, you know, a nice secondary playmaker there. And really, the Celtics were able to put pressure on the Raptors in that, like, they just have guys that are constantly putting you in pick and roll and forcing you to rotate and adjust and rotate and adjust. And eventually, they're going to find open shooters. And that's what they did tonight. I mean, they exploded the hell out of the corner three for the Raptors. You know, Marcus Smart, it felt like he was money from there. And probably, like, you know, I would say 4 of his threes from there, maybe 5. I mean, he hit 5 of 9 from three. Jaylen Brown hit a bunch of corner threes, you know, Brad Wanamaker hitting his corner three, Semi Ojeleye hitting his corner threes. The corner three was just open all night for the Celtics. And a lot of that is just because the Raptors are trying so hard to shut down a lot of the stuff that we're doing out top with, you know, the pick and roll stuff with Jaylen, the pick and roll stuff with Jason Tatum, with Kemba Walker, even occasionally with Marcus Smart. And, you know, it just, they didn't really do a bad job of it, but at the same time, like, the Celtics are just running a really good half-court offense right now where, you know, A, they have guys that can shoot and score, and a lot of guys that can hang on the ball. But B, they just also have guys that even when you do force them into tough situations, some of those guys can still salvage possessions. Like, Kemba could get you a tough bucket. Like, Jason Tatum can get you a tough bucket. So even if you are playing really good defense and shutting everything down, you know, at the end of the third quarter, for example, Jason Tatum, you know, going up, you know, one-on-one against, you know, the Raptors guards, you know, he's getting swarmed pressure, late shot clock situation. Bam, you know, Jason Tatum is still giving you a mid-range pull-up. Kemba Walker is still giving you a pull-up three to end the first half, to send the Raptors down 17 into halftime. And so, you know, there's a baseline there in terms of how efficient the Celtics offense can be. And then the baseline for the Raptors offense just hasn't really been there. The baseline has been pretty low, if there even is one. You know, the Celtics did a decent job of guarding Fred. I mean, Fred shot 3 of 16. I thought a lot of those threes should have dropped, but still did a decent job of guarding Fred. You know, with Pascal. Pascal is probably the one that's probably more concerning, because if you look at Pascal, you need him to match what Tatum has done. And of course, you know, we have defended Pascal a lot and everything like that, but it just seems like Pascal is really predictable at the moment. That's really been the case, I guess, for a couple of games, you know. But right now, and I guess in game one, it seemed like all Pascal could get was a post up. That's it. That's, he can get a post up. I don't know if he can get, you know, the catch and shoot stuff. He's not really doing much of the pick and rolls. It felt like the Raptors completely took that off the table. The only pick and rolls they ran were for Kyle and for Fred, and they ran a lot of those. But you know, for Pascal, it seemed like those were completely gone. And really, all he did was just get into the post, which is fine. I mean, I like him in the post. I do. But you know, it seems a little bit like it's easy to guard Pascal right now. He's not creating a lot of advantages for the team. You know, when he goes into the post, usually the other team will send a second defender, and the Celtics did do that. They did respect them, but at the same time, Jaylen Brown did a decent job guarding Pascal on the post. You know, Marcus Smart did a decent job there. They got Daniel Tice a couple of possessions, and then they got Semi Ojeleye, who, if you're not familiar with him, he's basically built like a Mack truck, and so you know he's, you know, able to physically hold his ground. They use him to guard Giannis, so you know, I think if he can physically hold up against Giannis, he can physically hold up against Pascal. And so what Pascal's mostly doing is trying to back his man down as deep as possible and then going up for a little contested hook while yelling. And that just hasn't really gone in. I mean, first off, he's not getting a lot of foul calls from there. I mean, he went 4 free throw attempts for Pascal today, despite going to the post repeatedly. Yeah, some of those plays could have been fouls, you know, whatever. But, you know, still, he's the referees are allowing them to play through contact in the post. You know, that's one of the facets of the modern game, is that you're allowed to do whatever you want as a defender of the post. Whereas if you touch a guy at all, you breathe a guy on the perimeter and it's a foul. And sometimes it's 3 free throws. So, you know, that's part of just how the NBA game is called nowadays. But yeah, Pascal's just not getting a lot out of the post, man. And, you know, that's, you know, a couple of those shots will drop eventually, but, you know, it was really telling that the Celtics, as the game went on, just stopped doubling Pascal. You know, okay, it was against their bench defender and Semi, and it's not even against Jaylen Brown, and they're still like, yeah, we'll just send ISOs. It's okay, you can ISO. And Pascal can, you know, he can hit a couple of shots there, but you're not going to score enough really out of that situation unless you're able to sort of shift the defense, move the people around. And Pascal, aside from finding Fred for 2 threes, one in transition, one, you know, where he faced up, drove into the paint, collapsed, and then kicked it out, Pascal couldn't create anything for anyone. And, you know, it's not even so much about the fact that he couldn't score enough himself. It's the fact that he couldn't be an engine to create offense for the rest of the team. Because, you know, no matter what, as a number one guy, you got to be an engine to create offense for the team. If you're not hitting shots, you have to create shots for others. And, you know, they weren't able to do that. I mean, Jason Tatum, he wasn't really hitting shots early on, but, you know, he got it going later on. Kemba, you know, the Raptors took away his field goal attempts. He only had 11 in 32 minutes, which is pretty low for Kemba, but Kemba got 10 assists out of that. You know, and Jaylen Brown, the same kind of deal. He got 4 assists out of that. You know, for Pascal to attack the way he did and not get anything is really worrisome. And so, you know, the Celtics, I mean, again, the switching thing is just tough too, because that hurts a lot of what the Raptors can get. Again, the Raptors, you know, run a lot of plays to sort of create little mismatches to get their guards going downhill. That just doesn't really happen against the Celtics. And really the only guy who could get to the paint was Kyle Lowry, who, you know, he had a... I don't even know what to call these. I mean, Kyle sometimes just gets in the mode where he is just like... He spazzes, I guess. Maybe that's the best term for it. I mean, or maybe, you know, he thrashes. Like, that's essentially what he's doing. He's using thrash. And he takes his energy up to, like, 4 levels above everyone else. He can only do it for, like, maybe 5 minutes, I would say, sustainably in every game. But takes his energy up about, you know, a couple notches above everyone else, and all of a sudden he's bursting through these gaps that the Celtics have done a pretty good job showing length on the perimeter, denying penetration. McCollum's able to break through, get to the rim, play a little fast as well. You know, Kyle obviously is, you know, he's really good at playing in transition, and he's really good at forcing the team to play in transition. And he gave the Raptors a little bit burst there. I mean, there's one play that probably my favorite play, the KFC bucket of the game, was Kyle Lowry coming off of the handoff, you know, getting a switch against Tice, putting his elbow into Tice's stomach and taking Tice out of the play. Then surges in the paint, kind of walling off and getting Kyle a little bit of a lane, but Semi Ojeleye's in the paint too, and he's trying to contest that Kyle. Then Kyle just like bowls him over, knocks him over. You know, Ojeleye's in the restricted area. I think he gets a foul called on him, and Kyle gets the N1 layup. Everyone collapses. It's just the sheer carnage of that play. You know, that's what I mean by Kyle Lowry thrashes. You know, he creates a lot of chaos, but yeah, he did a lot of that. But aside from that, I don't know, man. The Raptors need to do a better job of, you know, getting into the paint, you know, collapsing the defense, drawing extra help, and then hitting outside shots, because that's the part where that really hurts, right? Because the 10 of 40 from three, it was bad. I mean, a lot of those, I watched back Fred's 11 threes, you know, maybe he forced like two or three of those, you know, and that's when the whole team was cold. So, I mean, I understand, I guess, sort of calling your own number there, sometimes shooting from like 30, but for the most part, you know, Fred was open off the pull-up three, off the high pick and roll. Just didn't get a lot of those to fall. Kyle had some open shots, getting them to fall. Mark, all three of his threes were open, couldn't get them to fall. Pascal had some open threes, missed those, abandoned the three completely, went into the post. You know, OG didn't even get a lot of chances to shoot the three. Serge had a couple of chances to shoot the three. He made some, but, you know, again, the Celtics are going to live with that. And it's just on the whole, like, the Raptors just could not get, especially the starting five. I mean, the fact that starting five only had four made threes is a real problem. And when the whole starting five has less threes made than Marcus Smart, oh man, that's going to be bad. That's going to be bad. And, you know, you expect them to hit some more shots, you do, but at the same time, you have to respect the fact that the Celtics are doing a really good job, right? Because just because you take a three and you miss doesn't mean next time you're going to make it, all right? That doesn't mean that. I mean, sometimes you're on a late shot clock situation, you force up a three, who cares? You're not going to make that next time either. That's not make or miss league. That's just bad offense. And, you know, I guess it's a bit of column A, a bit of column B, but, you know, it's just, it's concerning to me. It's real concerning to me that the Raptors offense has not been able to get going against the Celtics. And the Celtics, you know, okay, yeah, you know what, if you can't, you know, necessarily score on them, maybe you can defend them. I think the Raptors do a decent job defending the Celtics. It's just that they're a really good team, and offensively they have a lot of talent, they have a lot of tough shot makers, and so their floor, their offense is going to be pretty high. Like, I didn't even think the Celtics had that great of a game today. They hit a bunch of threes, that's okay, you know, whatever, they hit a higher percentage. You don't expect them to shoot like 90% from the corners, but at the same time, you're expecting them to make a decent amount of corner threes, and of course, some of their tough shot makers, you know, they made their shots, and you know, aside from the turnovers, the Celtics were okay. I mean, but, you know, the Raptors' offense just has to be better. I don't know what else to say. Like, it was bad in the game against the bubble, too. Like, the Raptors were in, like, the mid-50s, midway through the third quarter. And you know, whatever, people were talking about, oh, maybe they threw the game, they didn't want to show their hand. There was no hand to show, all right? That was just it. So, I mean, look, I think there are adjustments. And there are definitely adjustments. I don't want to come off as that negative. I know, it was a bad result. I'm not trying to pile on the team. But I do think that there were some real issues. But I think in terms of adjustments, I mean, A, on the whole, just play a lot faster. Like, you know, I think the play that enraged me the most in this whole game was Fred. You know, I think the Raptors got a block. I think OG got a block on Wanamaker or whatever. But Fred was trying to lead the fast break. And, kind of, you know, the Raptors had numbers going forward. He could have hit them with a hit-ahead pass. But Fred just kind of insisted on dribbling the ball up the floor. I mean, he was trying to push the pace, but there was a man on him and slowing him down and pressuring the ball. And then eventually Fred drove into like two guys, and then he had to turn the ball over. And all of a sudden the Celtics are going the other way instead for like a 3-on-0 fast break. And then their rookie, Robert Williams, or maybe he's not a rookie, I guess he's a sophomore, but you know, Robert Williams, whatever, he goes up for a windmill dunk. And I'm like, yo, I'm having flashbacks to when Gerald Green did this to the Raptors as a rookie, as a member of the Celtics. Back when I was watching this game in like 240p on the score, like, you know, like it was tough. I mean, the Raptors and all, as a whole, needs to play faster. Like, they just need to play faster. They were kind of sluggish today. Fred a little bit sluggish. Kyle, outside of the little burst, was, you know, not as energetic as he normally is. Norm did not get out in transition at all, and that's a real issue. Pascal not really getting out in transition. So, you know, they just, I mean, they got some stops today. They just didn't run at all. And that's something that, you know, the Raptors need to just do a better job of. I don't know what the adjustment is other than just run better or run harder. It's hard to say in that front. And then the other thing is just, you know, I think the Raptors need to look at a couple of things in terms of just like, how do you get your pick and roll game going? You know, Mark, he mixed in like a little post up. He mixed in a little like roll to the basket. And I'm like, wow, he must be scoring well. Then you check the box score. He's got 7 points and he's a minus 18. He just can't score. Like he cannot score. I mean, I think defensively Mark did a good job taking away the rim. A lot of the times the Celtics are going in there, you know, facing Mark. Mark is able to force misses for sure. Absolutely. But, you know, as I said, coming into the series, a lot of what Mark brings to this team offensively is if he hits a couple of threes, if he can sort of, you know, create a couple of passes on the perimeter where, you know, whatever, someone's cutting through the lane, someone's cutting off the ball, Mark finds them, or, you know, whatever. Or at the very least, if he can space the floor, then he can kind of be neutral to like slightly positive. But for the most part, Mark is kind of a liability offensively. And then OG is also not a guy who's not going to get involved that much offensively. I don't think the Raptors called a single play for OG today. You know, OG got a lot of his own offense off offensive rebounds, you know, off of second chance opportunities. When the ball swung to him and he was open, you know, the Celtics sort of getting miscommunications, OG is able to get to the lane and dunk. And that was great. But I mean, that's pretty much as you can kind of reasonably expect from OG. So you have to think of ways to sort of find better opportunities for your main creators, right? Like Fred and Kyle. Maybe I'll take Kyle out of this because Kyle actually had a decent stretch. I don't think 17 points and 8 assists for Kyle on 5 of 12 shooting is that bad. Yeah, he could have hit more threes, but, you know, Kyle was okay offensively. It really is just Fred and Pascal. Fred and Pascal being a combined 8 for 32? Oh my God, that is really what they shot. 8 of 32. You're just never going to win like that. The Celtics won't win if they're, you know, their second and third options. If Kemba Walker and Jaylen Brown go 8 for 32, they're not gonna win either. And you need to find ways to get them going. For Pascal, I think he needs to face up with just a little bit more. Just, like, I know the outside shot is not going, and it must be frustrating. And you obviously feel most comfortable in the post, but there needs to be a little bit more of that pick and roll action there with Pascal on top. You know, maybe create a mismatch, maybe create a switch, whatever. But Pascal dribbling at the rim could still be a good option for the Raptors offensively, especially since, like, you're not getting that much out of the post, even when he does score. And then the other thing is, you know, I think for Fred, you know, the pull-up threes are good. You know, I think he can continue shooting those. I like the way he shot the ball today. He just needs to hit the three and a couple more to drop, and those weren't dropping. But the other thing is I think I need Fred to get to the rim a little bit more. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. He did lead the team in shot attempts in 16, and he had only made three, so it's not great. I mean, he shot 1 of 5 from inside the paint. He got a couple of shots blocked, but, you know, when he can just, like, find a couple angles there to get downhill, to score at the rim, to sort of make the defense sort of think, commit extra defenders, I think that's where Fred can really kick it out and sort of trigger sequences for the team and as a whole. And, yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. Fred wasn't really able to do that. And I do have faith that Fred can make a couple more of those contested shots. And then when you look up off the bench, I mean, yeah, I think you can, as I mentioned before the series too, I think you can maybe switch Serge into Mark's spot in the starting five if you're really having that much struggle scoring. You know, the starting five did not score well in the bubble in that loss to the Celtics there, and they did not score well tonight. But, you know, I think, yeah, maybe you could switch Serge into, you know, Serge is shooting the three a lot better than Mark as of late. And, of course, Serge gives you a little bit more of that presence on the offensive glass. You know, you can mix it up with Serge just a little bit. You know, I wouldn't hate that. I mean, I don't think you make it for game two, but maybe you make it for game four. And then the other thing is, like, you just gotta get Norm going too, because, like, Norm was invisible tonight. And, you know, the deeper you go in the playoffs, the more you're gonna need Norm. I mean, Norm used to be kind of like a nice luxury piece. It's great that Norm's doing what he's doing, whatever, but yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's, you can't just get 10 points on 4 of 12 shooting from Norm anymore. You know, he's not giving any play creation. He's defending. He's okay, but he's mostly just, like, average on defense. You know, situationally, sometimes he's good in terms of guarding, like, quicker players, but, you know, he's no shutdown guy. it's just, yeah, you got to get Norm some better offense. And for Norm, I mean, you know, he works a lot off the ball. So the Celtics switching really takes away a lot of the advantages he can create. The Celtics also take away a lot of transition, for which is pretty much where Powell gets half his scoring. But I do think there are certain situations where, you know, Powell should be able to get downhill. I don't even care if they switch and stuff like that. Just come across the screen, you know, screen better, you know, cut better. Like, I refuse to believe that Norm is just going to be completely shut down because team switched, okay? And then the other thing is just, you know, I don't know, man. When you're struggling offensively, like, try to go to more of your offense, you know, skewing kind of looks. I mean, I thought they did a decent job off the bench, you know, when they had, you know, Terrence Davis in there. He's obviously willing to shoot. You hit a corner three. You know, obviously Norm is more offensively minded. Serge is more offensively minded. Like, you know, I think in this series, you need so much offense that, like, I don't know if you can play OG and Mark together as much as you can, because that really allows the Celtics to focus elsewhere. And of course, you know, that's a bit of a concern, because OG or Mark are also two of your best defensive players. But, you know, it's a tough matchup. It's a tough series. And I think the Raptors can bounce back. I mean, look, you know, the Raptors have lost a lot of game ones, really. What the Raptors do really well is win game two, historically speaking. And yeah, I mean, there's some things that are just, you know, a little bit obvious, like, you know, stop helping as much off the corner. Like, you have to fight your instincts, because the Raptors are such a help conscious team, and they've done so well this season by sort of swarming the ball, taking away the paint. But at the same time, you cannot just be leaving the corner every single time that Kemba Walker comes around the screen. If Marcus Smart is coming off a pick and roll, you don't need to dig off the corner. And there are opportunities there where, yes, the Raptors do a good job of that. You, against most teams, it works, but you have to adjust and adapt to the situation. You know, Nick said it coming into the series, you don't have to play a lot more one-on-one defense. And, you know, I believe that. I think the Raptors do have good one-on-one defenders. And yeah, you might risk, you know, someone else going off, you know, Kemba going off or Tatum going off. Those guys are skilled enough. Even Jaylen Brown's skilled enough to go off offensively, but you just cannot always give up the open corner three, because, yes, the Celtics won't shoot 90% every game, but they will hurt you enough from the corner threes that, you know, you need to be smarter about sort of where you leave, you know, who you're leaving open, and also how often and how open you're leaving them open. Because anyone's a good shooter if you're leaving them, like, I don't know, like a full 3 seconds to shoot the basketball. And then the other thing is just, you got to run more. And I don't know. It's weird seeing the Raptors being so sluggish. I get that the Celtics are good getting back. You know, they obviously don't crash the offensive glass that much. That's a strategy that they use to get back. But damn, like, you know, you play all this defense, as Nick Nurse said. You got to get something out of it. And the Raptors couldn't get anything out of it. So, a disappointing game one for sure. Again, you know, the first quarter really put them in a hole, and the Raptors couldn't fight out of it. The Celtics are a very, very good team. And, you know, yeah, you cannot be down 39 to 23 after the first quarter. I mean, down 16 after the first, man. It's a long way back. It's a long, long way back. And the Celtics have enough players where, yes, they have a shorter rotation, but they're always having, you know, two of their creators on the floor. I would say Smart is, you know, even though he's not necessarily that great offensively, he's a bit of a creator for them too. So you got Smart, Walker, Brown, Tatum. Two of those guys are on the floor at all times. That's going to sustain the offense enough to not allow the Raptors to get, you know, mount these huge comebacks. And so, you know, you just, yeah, you can't start the game like that. And, you know, the Raptors started the game like trash tonight. They started the game like trash in their loss to the Celtics inside the bubble. And yeah, you know, just got to be better up from the tip. And honestly, if it goes wrong again in game two, then you might actually seriously look at changing the starting five, because, you know, yeah, you just can't be down right away after every game. So, you know, from there, the Raptors competed, but, I mean, it's easy to compete when your opponent's feeling a little bit more comfortable up 20. That's all I'll say. In terms of your three stars from this game, obviously Kyle's the first star, 17 points, 5 of 12 shooting, 1 of 5 from 3, 6 of 9 from the free throw line. I like that he got to the free throw line 9 times. Got a couple of generous calls, but whatever. This is Kyle. He's going to play the refs occasionally. 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 personal fouls, a steal, 5 turnovers. You know, a little bit reckless at times, but honestly, this game needed to be, you know, amped up to a higher intensity and a higher pace for the Raptors, and I don't fault Kyle for doing it. I thought he was the right decision. You know, had a nice little burst there in the second half where he was really just, like, you know, making a lot happen for the Raptors, but Yeah. Really, it was the most promising thing is that Kyle, his ankle looked good. He looked healthy. I'm sure it's probably sore right now, but didn't really seem to impact them today. He played pretty good defense on Tatum, even though Tatum made a couple of tough shots. You know, I thought Kyle played well. So he's the first star. Second star, I mean, what am I going to go with here? OG, I guess? OG, 12 points, 4 of 6 shooting. You know, hit a 3 or 4 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds. He got, you know, a couple of breakdowns there. He was able to capitalize, drive inside. Not really going to create much, so OG getting the second star is more reflection of the Raptors struggling as a whole. And then third star, I mean, I don't even know where you go with this. Serge had a hot start, but he really cooled off, had some lazy defensive moments. You know, not a huge fan of how he played. Norm, you know, invisible despite the fact that he scored 10 points. I might honestly give it to Fred, even though he shot 3 of 16. You know, because he got the 6 steals, he was really, really into Kemba, digging into him. He had 8 assists. You know, I didn't hate the process in which Fred played. I mean, he speeded up a little bit in transition. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. When you're giving a guy who's minus 28 the third star, that means you didn't play well. And, yeah, you know, it was just a bad game. But I guess I'll give Fred the third star if I had to give one of them. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, that's got to go to Marcus Smart. This man is primed to be the Gerald Henderson for the entire series. Not because he's a bad player, because he's a really good basketball player. He makes a lot of, you know, makes a lot of Kyle Lowry plays, and that's a really high compliment from a Raptors fan. But really, today it was just, he played pretty good defense, really disruptive, you know. You know, had a possessions guarding Siakam, had possessions guarding a lot of people. But then also the 5 threes, especially the corner threes, just are daggers into my heart, man. 21 points for Marcus Smart, plus 27 for the Celtics, the highest for on the team. I had a couple of turnovers, but, you know, pretty efficient game for Marcus Smart. And obviously, he's always going to be good defensively. So, hats off to Marcus Smart, man. Damn. Couldn't even get off my Bulbasaur joke there. Just don't feel like it. So, yeah, it was a tough game. It was a tough game. And you really need Pascal to do better. You really need Fred to hit a lot more shots. And, yeah, play faster at the team. Just please play faster. It's 7 fast break points when you have forced 22 turnovers. Does not make any sense for me. And, yeah, just got to do better on that front. So, they lose game one. I still maintain Raptors in 7, but I also have to say that every time I predict the Raptors in 7, they have lost. 2018 against the Cavs, I said the Raptors in 7, they lost. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be a tough series. The Celtics are a really good team. I think we should stop underestimating them. You know, even without Jalen, even without Gordon Hayward, they are still pretty mighty and pretty formidable. And yeah, I don't think they're unbeatable either. I think the Raptors can do some things, but you know what they have done so far in the season and what they did tonight was not enough. So I'm looking forward to how the Raptors bounce back in Game 2. If there's any history of the Raptors and sort of how they play after losing Game 1, you can bet that Game 2 will be a very ugly performance in which the Raptors somehow pull it out. To not inspire necessarily confidence, but to give you a slight bit of relief in that it's tied 1-1. So I'm expecting a very, very, very competitive game in Game 2, a lot more competitive than this one. And yeah, if they lose that one, then I don't know. But for now, they lose Game 1. It's happened. It's okay. You can adapt. You can adjust. You can refocus. Look at the tape. And hopefully come back with a better effort. So when the Raptors play Game 2 on Tuesday, I'll be back. Before I go, I have to let you know that the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show will be taking place. Me and co-host Josh Hart will be taking calls at 12 p.m. Eastern on Monday. So that's tomorrow if you're listening to the pod on Sunday, the night of the game. Call in. Let us know where you're at, where you're feeling. It's a good time. It'll probably make you feel better. You can watch live on the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page, streaming live from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. So call us tomorrow and let us know because, you know, we were feeling pretty damn good last week when there was a sweep. I'm expecting a little bit different mood, but at the same time, you know, I also don't think it's that much of a concern to worry about. It's just one game. I think the Raptors can recover. There's some things they can do better. And I'm looking forward to how they do it. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, who's been rating, reviewing, subscribing, by the way, as well. I mean, those are very, very needed, but also they feel great. I've been checking up on the numbers there, and the numbers keep climbing, so I feel really appreciated. It helps us surface the podcast in the iTunes store, in the Spotify browse section. So please, if you like the show, if you enjoy the show, review the show, rate the show, give it 5 stars. It helps other people find the show. And yeah, I really appreciate it. So thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to KFC for sponsoring the show. And yeah, call in tomorrow.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.